3 minutes. I hope you enjoyed your morning so far. Now we'll hear a talk about Likewise software, Windows interoperability efforts. Thanks to Krishna being here. And yeah, let's listen to the talk.
Thank you all very much for coming. I hope you can hear me. I hope the microphone works. You know, this is very interesting. This is my second Samba XP, and the title of the talk was an update of what's going on at Likewise. And it's funny because last year I came out here and I said, oh, I need all these things, and I sort of laid out a roadmap of things that I wanted. And this has been really sort of motivating, because I said, well, will the community build these things for us? And the community, we got some of it from the community, but it sort of forced us to go build a lot of this stuff. So we're sort of coming back here and updating you on what we did. And I think it's kind of auspicious for us. So I'm going to be bold this time and put another roadmap for next year. I don't know whether we'll do it, but hey, every Samba XP, I'm going to put a roadmap and say, I'm going to try and do this stuff. And that's our plan. So I'd like to introduce the Likewise team here. We have Brian Korpoff. Brian is our DC, RPC, IDLE compiler, and runtime king, and Brian Korpoff. And he's going to be doing a detailed talk with Rafal Chesniak, of who is our Landman API. I think all of you know him as a Samba XP team member. And we also have another gentleman, Mr. Jerry Carter, who's our dark horse. We don't know yet about him, but we hope he'll do us proud too. Maybe he'll work out, but you know, we're hoping so where he's at. I'm going to run through the slides really fast. We have a demo. This is fairly overview material. Basically, we just want to tell you what are the things we sort of went out and did in the last 8 months. We have a brief overview about Likewise, for those of you who don't know about us. Our big accomplishment, we think, is we've sort of rehabilitated the OSF DC RPC libraries. And we want to share how we did what we did there. The other thing we did is we sort of got the Windows Landman, the net and the distributed systems APIs, as first-class citizens on a native Linux platform. I think it's kind of cool. I'm going to show you a demo there as well. And then we also built this thing called the Likewise Administrators Console, which is an interesting console by which you can actually write management tools. It is written in the .NET platform, runs natively on Linux, Mac, and Windows. It's all written thanks to Mono and Miguel Garza. You might know that we have this open source project called Likewise Open. Jerry Carter will talk briefly about Likewise Open, what we're doing right now. And then we've done this little experimental thing which we call LSASS. It's an authentication daemon. We sort of put it together, and we want to share it out sort of in terms of tell you in academic terms the kinds of results we've got building this daemon. It's been quite interesting, the work we've got out there. And then we have this event log that we've sort of put together, and we want to share that with you. And then I'm going to be bold and sort of try and do a next year as well and see what we can get there. A little bit about us. Our company mission right now is making Linux, and that includes Unix and Macs, as first-class citizens in Windows networks, which basically means we're not trying to make Linux a poor man's Windows. We want Linux to be what it is, but we think we want to build these interoperability technologies so that Linux is no longer isolated and sort of segregated and has huge problems. You can drop a Linux box in, and it's natively good to go. It's a first-class citizen in a Windows network. It's kind of interesting. I think the trend right now is that, and using like kind of VC speak in some sense, it seems that the new unfair advantage or the strategic competitive advantage for Microsoft is actually Active Directory, no longer the desktop. You know, you've got to play in Active Directory to be in Windows networks. And so Linux will do fine, it just has to be fully integrated in. Yesterday I talked to Dan Shiren, we had an interesting conversation. I was really tired, and he kept telling me about Teapot. And I said, who's Teapot? Why are we talking about tea? But apparently that was about Tim Potter. So initially I really didn't get it, but yeah. We had a very interesting discussion. I want to share some findings that we have, trends that we see in North America, and sort of drives why we're doing what we're doing in our thing. We find in North America 93% of the Fortune 1000 deploys Active Directory as their primary NOS directory. We find that penetration of Windows infrastructure continues to be huge in the corporate intranet. It's very important to say, in the corporate intranet. You know, last year, Howard gave this very interesting talk about LDAP and OpenLDAP. The second point is non-Windows platforms we see are almost 50% in the corporate extranet. So the domination, it's almost, the tide is you have a lot of LAMP-based infrastructure in the corporate extranet. Any web-based infrastructure, any internet-facing infrastructure is largely LAMP-based today. So here's the interesting thing. You have these Fortune 1000 organizations whose predominant directory infrastructure is Active Directory. They need the mechanism to manage these non-Windows systems. They're reluctant to bring in a new directory. So that's the sweet spot that we have found right now. And so NOS directory wars are pretty much done. And I'm very clear here. The NOS directory wars are pretty much done. We see consolidation now as a main street play. In the early days, in 2000, 2001, 2002, we saw a lot of directory products out there, NOS directory products, and the way that you would actually have multiple NOS directory products in an environment is you had directory synchronization products. Now when we go into pitch our products about integration natively into Active Directory, we don't have to explain our value proposition. People just get it. They say, yep, we want Unix, Linux, and Mac system to integrate into Active Directory. And finally, so directories, what used to be traditionally directory synchronization products are now becoming provisioning systems. They're moving higher up the chain, or higher up the application stack. They're doing password resets. The biggest thing that people want to do in the environments is password resets. So that's what we find out there. For us, authenticating into Active Directory is the key scenario we find in the Fortune 1000. So I always use Samba 3 as this three-legged stool. It's file, print, and the little brother seems to have been authentication. And man, authentication is a big part of the puzzle right now for us. And I'm sure, I'm probably at the end of it, I'll find that you might have similar or you might disagree with this assessment. So this is what we're doing. These are our solutions today. On the left-hand side, we have what we call Likewise Open. These are our open source products and our open source solutions. We release all our software out on the web, and Jerry's going to sort of point you to it at the end of the talk. On the left-hand side is where we do our upside. You know, we're a business, we do our upside there. And we have a full group policy infrastructure environment. And I wasn't planning to mention it at all, but a couple of people asked me, what about group policy? So that's where we are. But I intend to talk today about AD authentication, which is Likewise WinBind and our LSASS system that we put together. I want to talk about what we've done with DCRPC, our LANMAN APIs and why we did them, and this thing that we call the NamePipe Muxer. Likewise, administration console and our plugins and LSASS. Demo one, Brian. So it's up to you. So we need some preliminary demo stuff. So Brian is going to sort of drive the demos because we have a sequence that we follow on the demos.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm going to quickly give you a small demo of using our software to join machine into Active Directory. This should be fairly straightforward. So we're going to join this Ubuntu VM to go away. We're going to switch into our Ubuntu VM here, and we're going to run our Likewise domain join tool. And can you hold this for a second? Thank you. And
I'm going to hang on.
Yeah, you all just right. Hold it. So we have in this VMware team a Windows 2003 server acting as a domain controller, which we can join this machine to. And the domain is likewisedemo.com. And it asks you for your username and password. And off it goes. And you're going to see the file browser quit and restart here. This is a side effect of restarting the dbus, system message bus, in order for it to pick up the new NSS modules and so forth that we set up as part of the domain join. It's kind of an unavoidable side effect. And it's in. So on this Windows 2003 domain controller, we have a Active Directory user, demo user, which we've set up in advance. So we will log in through SSH onto this machine as that user. And there you are. And if you do UID. Sure enough, it shows you your user ID and groups, and these user IDs and groups ID, group IDs were automatically assigned by our software, and you're ready to go. You're ready to authenticate Active Directory users onto this Linux machine.
Now, do you have Kerberos credentials cached at this point?
Yes.
So I think we should switch. You should use this one because you're going to be doing the demos. So plug it in.
All right.
You do a kindness there. You actually say your
TGTs are set up and service tickets are appropriately set up. So we'll take care of that. Right. And so this is based. Yes, go ahead.
You don't have KList installed.
We don't have KList installed. I forgot. See, you always have to have a Samba team member to help you out. So Rafal, thank you. Yeah, something happened over here. All right, so switching back. So this was basically our setup. We needed this to make sure that we now have a logged in authenticated user. Are we logged in? Two, okay.
Yeah. And there you go.
Okay. Okay, so we did our we set up our demo and DCRPC. So we decided to rehabilitate DCRPC. And why did we do this? We actually had a fairly large customer come to us and say they needed Linux desktop support integrated for basically file shares and print shares. And one of the things that they were running into is they were running existing utilities and they were unable to basically get decent error feedback. Right, because they were getting, they would suddenly get error 255 because they had run this utility and something failed, and they weren't getting consistent, reliable feedback. And so then we started looking at what should we do. So our customer request was give us the WinSpool APIs. They wanted open printer, close printer, enum printers, read printer, and write printer. Essentially, raw mode spooling. And on the net APIs front, they actually wanted things like setting up file shares. That was really the request that came back. So we had a choice. We said, well, should we just basically, you know, build monolithic APIs, or should we actually try and do what was done in Microsoft, which is have an RPC framework, and based on that RPC framework, we actually have separate componentization. And we figured it's the classic feed a man for a day. If you build this monolithic entity, what you'd have is you'd only have LAN-MAN APIs and nothing else. But on the other hand, if we did sort of try to get an RPC framework together, then basically we could actually start having everybody writing these applications. And one of the things we do is we shared the code out there. You can see Rafal's code because he's done the LAN-MAN APIs. And we did something very, which we thought was kind of cool. Rafal and me shared borders, and Rafal actually did all the initial development on Windows because we had a stable RPC runtime. And then we just took all of that code and we just moved it across and we ported it, and it just all worked fine. Of course, we had to do a lot of DCRPC work, but that was basically the principle. And we figured that it's kind of important to have this programmable platform to directly interoperate with Windows operating systems. And then we started searching around and saying, how best can we do it? And we're not sort of, I don't believe we are dogmatic about it, but what we're trying to explore out here is it's an interesting approach. You know, there are some novel results that come out of actually doing it this way. So if we count the number of DCRPC implementations out there, there's the first OSF1, which has now recently, recently been released as LGPL. When I say recently, it was about a year and a half ago. Then there's Luke Howard Novell's Paddle implementation, which is the one we've used. I mean, and a lot of kudos to Luke. He's been super helpful to us, and we really appreciate what he's done. And then there was another one out there somewhere we saw. And then there's the Samba 4 one coming out here. And it's kind of interesting to see what we've done, with especially the IDLE being sort of compatible with what, it's kind of closely compatible. The IDLE compiler and the syntax are closely compatible to what Microsoft already has out there. So that's what we did. And so this is our problem. I mean, I am sure 90% of the audience here gets it, but this is what we needed to do. We needed print manager support. We needed open printer, close printer, read, write, and enum printers calls, right? You know, it's interesting, in a long, long time ago, I actually had something to do with printing, and recently I talked to Jerry about it, because Jerry seems to know a lot more about printing than I do, and I said, well, there are not a whole lot of printing APIs to do. And he says, dude, there are 77. And when I remember it, there were 31 calls. And I only was thinking of 31 calls, right? And he's like, dude, there are 77 calls. And then I looked at the sound before real, and I'm like, oh my god. And so, but I really believe that only 31 are kind of relevant still. So that's, look what we're trying to do. We're trying to build, I said print manager, sort of dates me in some sense. It's an NT3.1 term. We need a print manager on Linux. So I call it libwindspool.so. We want the equivalent of windspool.drv. And instead of talking to RPC-RT4, we want to talk to libdc-RPC. And the thing with the DC-RPC framework, which Paddle has, and the Novell one, which is supposed to have supported name pipe support, is there's no name pipe support there. And by the way, if there's anyone from Novell out here, that thing just didn't work. It's posted out there, it just doesn't work, right? So we fixed it. And so they only had IPTCP support and IPUDP support, right? And so that's our first problem, like how are we gonna do this? And on the right-hand side of there, and my slides all died, and I sort of redid all my 28 slides yesterday, so I tried my best, but that's Windows out there, that's Linux out there, and that's the equivalent system out there. We needed to make sure that we had name pipe support. We needed at least client-side name pipe support. And so what we did, again, you know, give you some sense of what we did. We took the Novell Paddle code base, and then Unicode didn't work. White character strings, I believe, didn't work. And these guys are going to do a much more detailed talk about it. And some of the enhancements we had to do was make sure Unicode, UTF-8, and ANSI support was there. We cleaned up the exception handling and the threading model. The threading model was completely broken. Everybody pretty much I met said, don't even try to do this. It's a waste of your time, because especially the one that was released had it very specific platform-specific pthread extensions. And Brian should take a bow, because he went ahead and fixed it. Today we have this thing working on 110-plus platforms. AIX, HPUX, 64-bit, we got it working on all of them right now. So there are certain, I think there are certain constraints, and Brian's going to go into excruciating detail of what we've done there, but you know, that's completely Brian's work. He's run this. And so we've done NCSC and NP client-side support. That's what we've done. Oh, and here's the kind of interesting thing. The Novell Paddle code base, mysteriously the GSS Kerberos authentication support was sort of scooped out. And so we said, whoa, there's no authentication here at all. So there was no GSS Kerb support. So he's like, well, we got to do something about it. So we are reintegrating, we're re-implementing GSS Kerberos. The RPC system has its own plugin architecture for security authentication packages. We're going to do that. We've actually also done some interesting work around GSS NTLM. So we're trying to complete the entire SSPI suite, Kerberos, NTLM, and SPNego. We want to do all of them. And remember, this has not got anything to do with the name pipe authentication. This is actually the RPC authentication plugins. Please attend Brian and Rafal's talk. They're way more smart than me. Yes.
NCSC and NP, the SMB library, is that using the LibSMB client?
Yes, and next slide, I'm going to tell you that's what we did, right. Okay? And so here you are. So I couldn't do my animations. I ran out of time, but I was going to like miraculously have things fly in there. But you can see we added the additional NCSC and NP transport. And what we did is we created this daemon called the namepipe muxer, which basically is running libSMB client in it. So we can have multiple connections, use multiple sets of credentials. Because remember, multi-user system, you're going to have multiple people logging in. And we support the equivalent of the WNET APIs to plug in sparse credentials in there. So this is how we architected the system. And this is our actual demo, because and we're going to go into our next demo right now. We're going to show, all of you are familiar with the MMC local users and groups. We're going to show you local users and groups running natively on Linux, talking to LSASSXE, the SAMR, it'll net log on, and LSA stuff, RPC-RT4 on that side. So that's our, I believe, our next demo. Oh, one last slide. I already talked about this, but this is Rafal's work out here. He did the LANMAN net APIs, and you know, feel free to take a look at the code. And I think we've now got this framework where we can consistently start completing the API suite as we need APIs, right? And do you call the library, I think your Samba lineage, you call the code, the directory is called libRPC, but what's the shared library called? LibNet API?
Yeah.
Okay, so he calls it LibNet API. Okay.
But the subdirectory was NetLib.
Yes, it was, like yes. Yes. Okay, Brian, you're up again.
All righty. So, as Krishna mentioned, we have this program called LAC, Likewise Administrative Console, which is a C-sharp-based application for doing administration of, basically doing Windows network administration tasks from Linux and other Unix systems. Hold on a second. So I'm going to full screen this VM and go into it here. So bring it up.
You have to return to the directory at some point.
So this is a plugin-based architecture, so we have kind of little plugins that manage different aspects of Windows networking. And our current list has Active Directory users and computers, likewise cell manager, which is something specific for managing likewise cells, which Chris might talk about.
It's part of the architecture of how we can store things in AVs. It's then everywhere else to the top.
And Event Viewer, which we'll get to later, and local users and groups. And we'll add this in here. And local users and groups are essentially using the LANMAN APIs to go out to a Windows machine and say, hey, what users do you have? What groups do you have? Change a password here. Give me information about group membership. So it's all to manipulate local users and groups rather than groups in Active Directory. And this is all done through RPC calls based on our DCRPC foundation. So.
Actually, this does not use the query display info call, but being used, I mean, query display info only gives 100 users on Windows 2003.
Rafal?
It's like that users, you know, okay, cool.
Yeah. So for the sake of simplicity, I'm actually going to point this at the domain controller. So coincidentally, it will show the same users as you would see in looking at Active Directory using, you know, LDAP calls, but it's actually going through the LANMAN, you know, RPC calls, NetEnum users, et cetera. So here we see that it went and pulled back a list of users. It's kind of sparse because there aren't many users on this domain controller. And we can also look at groups. And it went and did an RPC call and enumerated them all. And we can say, that's VMware.
That's VMware, right click.
Seems like VMware is being a little bogarting the mouse here, so I'll try this. All right, there we go. So right click and go into properties. And as we can see, it does an RPC call and enumerates the users that are in this group. And as we mentioned before, we have this architecture where we have something called a namepipe muxer daemon. And it basically sits on a, just kind of the brief overview is that it sits on a Unix domain socket and basically tunnels RPC calls over a Samba namepipe using libsmb client. And it's actually, it so happens that we have it running manually here, and it's been running here the entire time in this little console, and you can kind of bask in the glory of its trace output and look at all the writing to namepipe it's been doing. And if we go here and go back into here and say properties again, you can see, just scrolled a bit because it made another RPC call. And you, and if you, yeah, and if you scroll up here, you can actually see some of the session setup output. So for instance, connecting to likewise demo comment endpoint pipe LSA RPC. So this is kind of what we have going here.
Okay, excellent.
And let me.
So RPC works. So. And so, so now that Brian's sort of brought up our LAC console, we want to show you a little bit more about what we've done with the LAC console. So this is the motivation for it. So we actually got a lot of positive feedback from our customers saying, we love this. We want to integrate into Active Directory. And now what happens is typically Fortune 50, Fortune 100, Fortune 1000 organizations, they have armies of Unix administrators and armies of Active Directory administrators. And they're all at war with each other. So the whole problem for the Unix administrators is, look, if you join my stuff into Active Directory, the Active Directory administrators start getting more clout in the organization, and they start feeling that they're going to end up being marginalized. We consistently ran into this. We'd have the key decision maker sitting in the middle, we'd have his Active Directory people on the right-hand side, and his Unix people on the left-hand side, and they wouldn't be looking at each other. We would actually proxy some of the conversations, because it wouldn't be that grim, right? And so what we did is, the Unix administrator is saying, look, I don't want the Active Directory guy to sort of deal with, or the Windows administrator guy to decide what I have to do. And then, so we came up with this idea saying, look, and this is, I believe, where the industry is heading. I think the directory has now become a commodity. AD is completely transparent. Nobody really cares about it. It's all about the servers and the clients, the workstations and the servers in that environment. So you want to change the mix. You want to increase the number of Linux and Unix at the cost of the Windows machines. That's what you want to do. So you want to make sure that the same tools that the Active Directory administrators have, you'd like to make those tools available for the Linux administrators. I mean, they were actually telling us, you mean if I have to do group policy, I have to go to a Windows desktop and then run Windows group policy to manage it? That's no good for me. I just want to stay on my SLED or my Ubuntu desktop and do all my management. So that's the reason we did this. So we started building this Likewise administration console, and we now have a MMC, Microsoft Management Console equivalent. And this thing is written entirely in the .NET platform. We built it on top of Mono. And the nice thing about it is it runs natively on Linux, Mac, and Windows. And as somebody who actually has some insight into how MMC was put together, this is significantly superior. The average time to put together an MMC snap-in used to be anywhere between 6 man-months. With this, you could actually, within 2 to 4 weeks, you could put together your plugin. We have a very nice extension model for it. It's pretty simple to actually put together a plugin. We plan to release the SDK, actually not just the SDK, we plan to release all the code as well, so people can have the entire, build the console themselves. So currently we have the following 4 plugins, you've actually seen them, but I think you like our ADSI Edit and ADUC plugin. We've written a complete equivalent of ADSI Edit and ADUC, and it pretty much does all the features. So Brian, you want to show that?
Absolutely. So let me just switch back to our Fedora VM here. So we'll go back to add remove plugins and add in our Active Directory users and computers plugin. And we'll right click here and say set target machine. It'll ask if you want to provide username and password now, which you can. So we'll point in at our little domain controller. And let it go, and here we are. It's doing LDAP queries and basically giving you a view of Active Directory configuration. So we can say, look in the CN computers, the computers container, and sure enough, here's Ubudemo, which is where our Ubuntu virtual machine, which we joined to Active Directory at the beginning of this presentation. And we can also look at users, and CLR users, and sure enough, here is demo user, which is the user we logged in as on our Ubuntu machine.
You might want to show properties.
Ah, yes. We can also go into properties here.
So this property is happening at LDAP this time, right?
This is happening over LDAP this time. And I think the interesting thing is, and Volker and Metz actually, they helped us a little bit on this, because
there's a few rough edges in the Mono's implementation of Windows Forms, which is what this is written in, and it looks like we've just hit one of those rough patches, so I'll try rerunning this for you guys.
So we
want to start doing that, yes. So you know, we want to make this available and sort of start doing that right now. I think one of the things we did is, and we needed it for our group policy agent, we needed it for a couple of other projects we were doing, is OpenLDAP doesn't support the LDAP auth negotiate, the GSS SP nego support. We want to make it really simple for people who develop applications, so we just want them to use OpenLDAP's bind call and support the parameter for LDAP auth negotiate, so it does the GSS SP nego negotiate. So Volker and Metz helped us out, and we actually got that work in, and we actually have it in our OpenLDAP client implementation. And we're trying to submit it because we think it's kind of cool, because if you want to write applications, it's kind of a pain using OpenLDAP and then doing your own GSS init context and sort of doing this work yourself. It really is pretty painful to do it, and then sort of do your own SASL work. It's kind of painful to do that. Whereas this way, you just pass in the parameter and it just works.
So you've just made a patch to Cirrus SASL so it all works normally, or?
No, it's OpenLDAP.
Okay, so why not work with Cirrus SASL, which is doing all the other mechanisms?
We don't share Cirrus SASL, so we didn't need to.
It's a lot less code. I'm there. I just want to actually hear that answer. I mean, that project's
been
a bane of my existence too.
So would you view that is something that should be in the OpenLDAP libraries itself directly
it
natively?
It belongs in Cirrus SASL.
Yes.
You can make it happen is another question. to pull that off, but it belongs in the layers doing all the other authentication mechanisms.
So what we see is that we want to make it as easy as possible for the average developer to sort of build applications, right? And so if I don't know whether you can get into CirrusSASL, but the thing is, we would like a developer not to have to worry about what to do. He wants to pass in a parameter and he just gets that operation going. I mean, that's because AD is so fundamentally pervasive out there. Talking to Active Directory through GSS Espinego should be something easy to happen. You know, not having that makes it much more difficult to get this integration going. So right now, we've kind of been really heads down, so we haven't sort of actively pursued this with the SASL people or with OpenLDAP.
So the ASM1 DER layer is being done by what code? Your own code or the sort of the Samba ASM1?
I think it's Metz here because he's... I'm sorry, what was it?
The basic marshalling of the LDAP request is done inside LDAP, but the open LDAP right now, the libvr right now allows you to get your hands on the data stream before it hits the wire.
That's how the GSS API level is done. That's how the Espinego,
right,
exactly. For example, stuff is done.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So unfortunately, it seems that Windows Forms are being a little uncooperative, so I unfortunately can't show you the properties page right now, but needless to say, what we have here is essentially a solution for browsing and managing Active Directory from Linux machines, very similar to the MMC console on Windows.
So we can get the lack up again?
We can get it up again.
Okay. So we did this one. Jay, you're up.
Okay. You want me to cover these two slides?
Yeah.
So last December, we released a project called Likewise Open after a lot of consultation with other people on the Samba team. And basically, what we really wanted to do is we said, you know what? It should be easy to get a machine into Active Directory, period. It should be part of the operating system. It should be a commodity. Everybody should be able to do it. And I find that, you know, when people were really hungry and they had to hunt their own food and they had to skin, you know, their own animals and they had to, you know, cut it up, they were willing to do all this really dirty work because they were hungry. And then microwave dinners came along, and people just want to punch the button, and they just want it to work. And I think that Windows and other operating systems and, you know, Mac, I think there's this sort of feeling that, you know, it should just be easy. And when I teach tutorials, I say, how many people use WinBind? And a few people will raise their hand. And how many people have tried to use WinBind and it didn't work? And like half the class goes up, and it becomes very complicated. And it's not necessarily because of WinBind. It's because that essentially what you're doing is a system management, a system configuration process. So we did, we released Likewise Open with the focus on being ease of use. So it's simple one-step joins. Brian already showed you those. It is based on the modification, the development works that we do to WinBind. We're shipping the 3.2 version of WinBind. Majority of that development work has already been pushed upstream. We have a few things that have not been pushed upstream yet, mostly just my fault, not intentionally. It's in the pipeline. The entire management tools, the join itself is GPL, LGPL code. It's posted. Do you have the browser up?
Yeah.
Alt tab.
We have 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, the download, you can just go to likewisesoftware.com/community. The packages, the source code is there. Itself, let me go back to the slides. Features that'll be going in, we'll push those up as it is. There's a question of how does this actually work with Samba? We've got some open APIs that we are shipping in 3.2 that allow WinBind to communicate with SMBD over an API-based shared library mode, which allows SMBD to actually talk to the version of WinBind that we ship as well as the one that ships in Samba. So it's sort of the replacement between PostFix and SendMail. You can sort of choose, you know, which one you want, but eventually, hopefully, you know, our version of WinBind basically goes away. We just work on a faster release cycle at the moment. So currently we're included in Ubuntu Hardy in the betas. You get it, you can just do apt-get install Likewise Open, join it to the domain. Has all the upstream versions of WinBind, so cache credentials, K-list, you know, all the kind of stuff that you would normally expect. And now Likewise Open has become actually an umbrella for all of the open source efforts that we do. So the DC RPC libraries that we've talked about have been released. The net APIs have been released, the domain join functionality, the GUI tools, it's all under there, under this umbrella, this sort of, you know, one project that we're sort of gearing up. So when you hear Likewise Open, it's actually more than just domain joins at this point.
And
So we have, okay. So LCSS. So we actually, in December, we actually ran into a couple of customers who had some non-technical requirements. They had a challenge with what we currently did with Likewise Open. And so we said, let's try and experiment with it. Let's see if we can do something for them. These were like fairly lucrative customers in some sense. So we said, let's experiment with something else where we can sort of get the business with these customers. So what we did is we started a new architecture, and the domain join code that you saw actually is using this new code base. We actually use this new code base. It isn't actually running WinBind, it's using this new code base. We started in December, and we kind of pretty much are done. It's a pretty decent implementation, we think. So this is kind of what it is, pictorially. We created a native lib LSA API, and our PAM, NS switch, and even our GSS NTLM implementation are all layered cleanly on top of this lib LSA client.so, which communicates over IPC very similar to what an authentication system would do. And what we have right now is we have this notion of security packages in there. And we have a security package for a local store for local users and local groups, and we have a store a security package for Active Directory. And the interesting thing is that we actually had a bunch of customers come back to us and say, look, we need local password management. One of the new problems as part of SOX and PCI is they need to lock down their local password accounts as well. So things in etc password and etc group, and we always run into almost 100 different platforms in any customer site that we visit. And AIX is a very different set of implementation for password complexity. HPUX has something completely different. Solaris has something completely different. So what we were able to do is we were able to create this notion of a local database, and then using our group policy technology, we can actually sort of support password complexity, you know, strength of passwords, a whole bunch of settings that apply to local users and local groups as well. So this is what we've currently built, and the libgss NTLM work that you see out there actually supports the GSS in its security context, GSS, except security context, yes?
So are those local users simply Likewise users, or do they actually exist in etc password and etc group?
They exist only in the LSASS's kind of database.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I told you I was right. 4 years ago.
What?
I told you.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
We did this in my mind like 4 years ago, and I ripped the patch out because nobody liked it.
So, but this is actually, well, I mean, so you know.
I did that patch.
So I think the reason, I think we serve a little bit as a testing ground, because this probably might be something that we want to put back into WinBind, because customers are having a huge, I'm sorry.
We already have it.
Yeah, so my point is, the reason you want to do it is because there's actual genuine customer demand for it. Because people do not want to use etc password and etc group because of like the variations out there. They would like something local. And then this can basically tie back into, you know, SMBD as well, because then you could have local accounts. The nice thing also is that things like the GSS NTLM stuff that we like is, okay, great. So that's what we did. And here's the sum total set of functionality that we currently have in it right now. We have the client-side API, server-side packages. We've implemented machine password refreshes using our DC RPC APIs. Does time synchronization to the root DSC object. Supports change password. We have full site management, multi-forest support, cache credentials. They're starred because they're not yet checked in. We don't have WBL support for it, but it's a really, it's come together really nicely. One thing is it's a single process, multi-threaded daemon. That's what we did. We implemented a threaded system. And you know, it's some we have some very interesting results from it right now. We're going to start doing some performance testing on it. So the event log, and here's another requirement you got again from a very large customer doing desktop Linux. And their problem is nobody likes using syslog anymore. I mean, because they actually have to do auditing. Again, all of the things we do are part of Sarbanes-Oxley and HIPAA. So people actually want complete auditability. They don't like syslog because it's got high noise to signal ratio. And they don't like the fact that data stored as free-form text because it's difficult to run structured queries. So what we did is we went ahead and built an event log daemon on our DC RPC framework. And the nice thing is we used embedded SQLite. We use a SQLite as the database, so it's kind of better than Windows because we can actually run SQLite queries and retrieve data from it. We support it on all of our platforms right now, and the preliminary consumers of audit information are our logon, logoff, our sudo, and our Linux Unix syslog. And here's kind of what we did.
Again, we've got our event log daemon. We have our own LW event. I'm sorry. Yeah. One moment. And we have our own inl out here. So you have Linux talking to a Linux server. And we also have a Windows site as well. You know, you have event clients. So you can do the same thing all over RPC. We have both these pieces of functionality. So you want to demo this?
Yeah. So let's just take a look at this real fast. So as we revealed before, the Ubuntu machine that we joined to this Active Directory VM was actually running LSASS. So it was LSASS that was actually, that's how we were doing the domain join. That's how we were authenticating users. And LSASS ties into our event log and logs information about logins to it. So if we take this Fedora VM running LAC, and we can add in our Event Viewer plugin real quickly here. And point it at the Ubuntu demo thing. And go to System. And there we go. Success audit saying that a user successfully logged in. And if we double click on it, we can see that demo user logged in. And if we switch over to our Ubuntu machine, and this guy's logged in, we say exit, he logs out. Let's switch back here and click on this again to refresh. And here's system logout event, again for demo user. Let's do this one more time. Let's try and, I'm gonna quickly try and log in again. I'm gonna enter a bogus password. It's gonna yell at me, switch back. Click here, failure to log in. So there you go. And because LAC is .NET, runs on Linux and Windows, we can actually pull it up here. And let's do this really quickly. Add our event viewer in, say OK. And point it at the same Ubuntu machine. And go to system, and sure enough, there's the same things that we saw on the Fedora system.
And so we think this is another interesting thing. We find that when we use likewise WinBind, basically people want this audit information. And what happens is it's very difficult. Currently, there's a lot more information there. So we're looking for system administrator logs. So we have system administrator, you know, there's so many things you can do. If a user logs in with cache credentials, they want to know whether the user logged in with cache credentials. Three-time logouts, have they succeeded or failed. All of this security-sensitive information, people want to use it. And in these Windows-dominated networks, what they now want to do is they want to plug into these larger Microsoft MOM-style infrastructure. Because then what happens is they don't have to have special exclusions to actually have Linux desktops come in there. They say it's all part of the Sarbanes-Oxley or the HIPAA or the PCI regulations are all, Linux is now covered under this, and they actually can introduce Linux machines in. That's one of the reasons why we think having an audit log would be very useful. Are we out of time? Okay, last slide.
I'm sorry, yes.
last slide, and okay. So I've got this whole agenda. We want to do more DC-RPC work. We want to do more LAC work, and we were thinking we should do an experimental spool SSD server without doing the spooler. I don't think either Jerry or me ever want to write another spooler again, but it would be kind of cool to actually have a framework and an empty framework. And I think Brian and Rafal can cover it, so thank you very much. I think that was our last slide. Any questions?
The very interesting release of the LAC, you say you could be releasing the .NET mono stuff
yes.
with LAC.
Yeah.
What sort of license are you
Something that will be
something
that
will make you
and make you happy. Yes. Yes.
I've just installed likewise open
my Yes.
And
so we want to release this, and we're more than happy to release it under a license that everyone's happy with. So
because the LAC stuff is just that's pretty.
We actually think I would love. I mean, I've seen Semaphore's evolution, the embedded.
Yeah, but is crap.
Yes, so what I would love to see is I strongly believe that you should sort of use this. I mean, this should be your basis. And we have almost like 20, 30 plus other snap-ins. We have file shares, print shares.
We've got to get our RPC library underneath it, so we've got to do the...
Yes, you can, yes, yes.
Right.
And you write your own plugins, so your own plugin will talk to it.
Leveraging your GUI stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Okay, so, yeah,
okay.
That's good. Something good. Yeah.
Thank you, Krishna.
Yeah.